In 1996, some real creative gamers decided to take that gaming perspective, instead of making it a gaming perspective, to make it a storytelling perspective, make it a director's perspective. And they shot a small film called Diary of a Camper, and it was kind of a hit within the community because it was the first time they took the game and made some kind of story that actually related to the game playing experience itself. And that started a trend known as Quake movies. And this trend kind of continued for the next few years, people kind of creating films in the game space of Quake that related to the audience of Quake. So it would be, you know, games about, you know, a great move or this one super fighter who would, you know, go out and kill everybody. And so a small community of Quake movie people, filmmakers were coming together. But soon after this, about a year or two afterwards, more first-person shooter games came out, and as a result, more tools came out for these games. So the whole cinematic or machinima movement at that time was starting to also show up in other games. So Unreal Tournament, Half-Life, these types of games were starting, these first-person shooters were starting to become the basis for other machinima works. However, the term machinima didn't exist yet. And then in the year 2000, two gentlemen by the name of Hugh Hancock and Anthony Bailey realized that there were so many of these films coming out that they needed to have a new name. I mean, they were all getting kind of termed as Quake movies, which doesn't really make a lot of sense if I made my film in Unreal Tournament. So their idea was to come up with this kind of coffee press contraction of the words machine and cinema, coming up with the word machinima. And then started machinima.com that became kind of the portal for all films made in this space. And thus the machinima genre started. And so it brings us to the point of who's actually making machinima at this point. Machinima filmmakers are a pretty young community. Again, it's a fledgling medium as we see it. And so a lot of the community people that are out there are, it's just very diverse. It's people of all walks of life. I mean, I guess if you looked at the people making digital film these days, if you could pinpoint to a certain demographic, if you tried doing that, it'd probably be pretty hard. So it's pretty diverse in the number of people that are actually producing machinima films. That said, it's probably more male-driven, just because of the games themselves, but that we're seeing that shift. The first piece that you had seen there was the director was April Hoffman, who's one of the kind of the premier machinima directors right now. So so it's good to see that's also opening up. And they're also typically new people to filmmaking. And to that extent, they don't really have a lot of background in doing film. This is kind of like they're just putting what they've seen to practice. So there's the allegiances to previously made films aren't as entrenched with these filmmakers as somebody that has gone through 3 years or 4 years at USC. So we're seeing a new breed of filmmakers come out of this. I mean, the music industry is seeing the same thing. Not everybody's trained at Juilliard, but they're pursuing music as a career. The same thing's happening here. To that point, the cinematic vocabulary still plays a large role. I mean, we have 100 years of cinema that really kind of teaches us what makes a story and how to visually represent that. And so even in machinima's terms, that is still a very large part of the actual process. Another really cool thing is that machinima does represents kind of animated filmmaking on a garage band level. So you typically animated films, you look at Pixar's, you know, The Incredibles or something of that scope. And that film, of course, took, you know, a number of years with hundreds of people at working as part of it. Machinima kind of represents the really small studio part. People are able to make feature-length films using this game technology. Now, granted, it's not the same fidelity as The Incredibles. You know, we don't see that. But that's not to say it's not getting there, and that is definitely on the horizon. So how is machinima made? So real quickly, we'll talk about it. There's a simple method, which is basically just capturing the video right out of the game. Now, the two films that you've seen there, actually three films you had seen there, with the exception of The Journey, those films were made with kind of the off-the-shelf game. So they just basically took the game, played it, and they captured the quote-unquote performance of the characters in that world. That's actually not quote-unquote. It actually is a performance. But they captured those aspects of the game to videotape and then edited together in non-linear editing software. So that's a real simple way of producing machinima. The more advanced way, which is how The Journey was produced, is people create custom assets and basically create new characters, new sets. You know, they take the tools that the game developers provide with the game, which is great, And rather than take what's the game comes with, they just basically create everything from scratch and use the underlying technology by which to create the film. So to that, there's two types of machinima in that there's performative machinima, which is very similar to Red vs. Blue and the Yill Clan, who do this very kind of advanced puppeteering of characters. And then there's the scripted machinima, which is everything's kind of plotted along, almost very similar to an animated film. However, things are being triggered in real time by either the artificial intelligence of the game or by scripts that the characters are following. An example of that is kind of this here. What you can see here is this is the same game. On the left is Unreal Tournament 2004 as you purchase it in CompUSA or wherever it is you buy it. On the right, we're not seeing it. Sorry about that. All right, I'm sorry about that. We're not seeing the other piece. But on the right side is this bottom film here, which is also made in Unreal Tournament 2004. So it's just about taking those tools and creating something entirely new with it. And the game developers provide that. That's their, they're interested in that. That promotes their game. And again, I apologize for not seeing that piece. Anyway, yeah, that's a shot from it. You can't see it. So again, how is it made? Well, we're seeing a lot more of game developers become basically more machinima friendly, which is great for us. These particular games, and these aren't the only ones, but these are the current games out there that have some kind of machinima component. Now, 4 years ago, this didn't exist. And it's only through the proliferation of more machinima films have game developers started embracing what people are doing in the machinima community. So specifically, Unreal Tournament 2004 has this diverse tool set that allows people to manipulate the game. Now, it's not solely for machinima, but they include certain parts of it that are really dedicated to filmmaking. The Sims 2, the first film you had seen, the Let's Get Started video, The Sims 2 has the ability to export AVIs right from the game itself. So if you capture performance in the game, then you can dump that into editing software. The movies is a really interesting one. I'm going to actually jump over that. Doom 3 and Half-Life 2 also have machinima tools with their games as well. So you can export the video right to a file format or to sequential target files, and then again bring that into editing software. The movies, really interesting program. That's not out yet. That'll be out this year. Now, this is a god game. If those have played The Sims or something like it, it's very similar to that. You're kind of controlling an environment and the individuals or the people of that environment. And the population is all about creating a movie studio and building it to a very successful movie studio. The really interesting part of it is that there's a large machinima component to it. So part of the game's part of being successful in the game is by creating trailers of your films. And those trailers are rated internally by the game mechanics. And that AI then puts like a star rating to it and actually gives it some kind of point system and makes your film more successful or whatnot. The part I find really interesting is that it's a blurring of line between game and authoring tool. Because the movies not only allows you to play this great game, which is the core of it, but also allows you to create machinima films. So, and you can send those to your friends. And the whole idea behind it is that there's an entire library of assets to use. So the movies comes with sets, actors, virtually anything you would need to create a film. And the idea is that once the game is launched, they will continue to populate the game with continual content. So you'll have more and more assets and libraries to access when you're developing your films. So it's a real kind of interesting blurring there. Oh, sure, okay. So anyway, real quick, so Valve's Face Poser is a game that is a software that comes with Half-Life 2, and this allows you to manipulate the actual facial expressions and do automated lip syncing with a WAV file. So you drop a WAV file in, match it up with the scripted text, and then it does an automatic lip sync based on internal program that kind of analyzes the two. So real quick, pertinent to this, is the licensing and rights part of it. Well, one of the things we're doing to kind of make sure that Machinima continues to grow is to work with the game developers on getting a licensing in place for the games, for Machinima films. So we're already in conversations with them, and they're coming along pretty good, pretty well, I should say. But there's nothing concrete in place yet. We're also looking at different licensing models. So there's licensing of the ability to do it on a per-project basis, which isn't really the greatest. a site license, which is a much better way of dealing with it. And then we're also looking at these permit-based licenses. So if you see in these games, some of the games are perpetual games and persistent games. And we had the idea of like creating like almost a film and location permit by which you can actually shoot a film. And then eventually is to make Machinima commercially viable. So anybody who wants to create a film can then use it to possibly share any kind of revenue they can generate with it. And quickly, the Machinima future. So I'm just going to blast through these bullet points. Machinima is, it definitely has, the future is really bright right now. We're seeing consoles, right? Where the Xbox 2, the PlayStation 3, the PSP, which I have with me. All those are potential Machinima distribution or points of distribution. So when you consider that the Xbox 2 is going to have the power of what you could create with an animated film of 3 years ago, and they could render it real time in your living room, there's no need to render it the hours and years or months it takes to render it, that The Incredibles. It can all be done at your console. And if we can just send the assets down the pipe of the broadband connection, it'll get rendered right to your living room. So the digital distribution of the assets is there. We're also seeing an evolving audience, right? The games are being used to create stories about the games. And people are also becoming not only the producer, but the viewer. I mean, sorry, not only the viewer, but also the producer of their own content. And then, of course, we're seeing it kind of step up, and a lot more people versed in traditional media are starting to come into the Machinima fold. So that's great stuff, too. And then eventually, Machinima comes down to it being the democratization of the animated filmmaking and storytelling. So that's, we're seeing, like I said, it's kind of accelerating, and almost every year we're taking one more of the leap. So it's really exciting to be where it is. So thank you very much. These are the links if people want to check out some more things about Machinima. And I'm free to talk. I'll be here for the rest of the day. So if you have any other questions, I can talk to you then. Thank you very much.